Thank you guys for coming this morning. If you would, open your copy of God's Word to Joshua chapter 24. We'll preach a little bit differently this morning. We're going to get there, okay, eventually, all right? But you can go ahead and find Joshua chapter 24, put your thumb in there, and we'll get there eventually. So instead of the standing and reading and all that, we're going to mix it up a little bit, okay? I'm just going to pray, and as we discuss together and think about God's Word, what I want to do is eventually end up at the place where Joshua chapter 24 has some bearing on our life, all right? So if you would, let's kneel and pray and ask God to speak to us. Father, Lord, I want to thank you for each and every person here in this room this morning. They did not have to be here, but they are here. And God, I pray that you would help us not waste this time. Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak your word. God, I pray that you would help all of us listen to your Spirit this morning. God, I pray that you are honored, and I pray that this time we spend together in your word would not be a waste, but it would be fruitful and productive in our life. I pray that your word would not return void this morning, but that you would challenge us and encourage us this morning, that you would help us focus on who you are this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite movies is the movie Castaway. All right, y'all watch Mr. Autry over there and make sure he doesn't go to sleep this morning. I can't see him over there. All right, one of my favorite movies is Castaway. It stars Tom Hanks. Do you remember this movie? I was doing a little research just to kind of remind myself of the plot. This movie actually came out in the year 2000, which I was like, man, that is a long time ago. But in the movie Castaway, Tom Hanks plays a character, and his character is a upper-level manager for the company FedEx. And it goes back to where FedEx is just starting. They're trying to deliver packages, and everything's running by the clock. And everything in his life is so focused on this one job and accomplishing these tasks of opening this business to get FedEx running, that there's not a lot of time for free time and choices and things like that. But long story short, he's on a FedEx plane going to Malaysia or somewhere like that. Plane ends up crashing, going down, and he's the lone survivor. And he's stuck on this little island, all right? And packages wash up on the beach and on the shore. And he begins stacking and sorting all these packages like he's fixing to ship them out, I guess. So he's got all his packages sorted and ready to be shipped out whenever he's rescued. And as time goes on, he begins to open these packages, all right? He finds his best friend Wilson in one of his packages, okay? He finds an ice skate that he uses as a knife to open coconuts in one of the packages. But he has this one package, all right, that he decides not to open. All right, and for whatever reason he makes that decision, I don't know, but he has this one package that he decides not to open. So throughout the course of this movie, one of the things that keeps reoccurring over and over and over again is that he has made a choice, number one, to make sure that he can get home to his sweetheart, all right? And number two, this package will be delivered. All right, so he ends up getting rescued and getting off the island and things like that. But the closing scene of this movie is so interesting to me because his life has been so focused on just getting this package to where it needs to go that he hasn't really thought about anything else. He hasn't had to make many decisions. I mean, he's trying to eat every day, right? So at the end of this movie, he finally delivers the package, all right? And he leaves the lady's house, and it shows Tom Hanks standing at a four-way stop sign, all right? And the camera pans up high, some kind of drone footage or something, and it just shows you there, leaving you the picture that for the first time in a long time, he has choices to make. The fact of the matter is our life each and every day is full of choices. I mean, you think this morning about the choices you had to make just to be here. Right? Number one, what time am I setting the alarm clock for? All right? Am I going to let it snooze 3 times or 6 times? Okay? Do I want coffee this morning? All right? Am I going to shower on Saturday night or am I going to shower on Sunday morning? Ladies, you had to decide how you're fixing your hair. Guys, we don't have that issue. Some of you don't have that option. All right? But, you know, your life this morning is full of choices, right? What am I wearing to church, right? Am I going to wear shorts to church, t-shirt? Am I going to dress up? Am I going to wear a suit? Am I going to wear my Mount Gilead shirt? Even this morning, your life is full of hundreds of choices that you have made, right? So each and every day, our life is full of choices. Now, there are a couple of categories of choices, if you will, right? Sometimes our choices are just what I call casual choices, right? These are things that it's not that they aren't important, but in the long stretch of things, they're somewhat maybe meaningless to the remainder of our lives, all right? Where are you going to eat lunch today? You going to take a nap when you get home? What football game will you watch when you get home? So our life sometimes is full of just casual choices, all right? And we make these casual choices based off of a couple of different things. Number one, it may be habit, okay? It may be that we have done something some way so long for a long period of time, we really don't think about it anymore. Your morning routine is probably like that. Ours is like that at our home, okay? We have when the children are in school, Allison and I have a morning routine. It does not change. It will not change. It works like clockwork. We have got it perfected down. But each and every morning, we make the option and the decision to stick with that routine. Okay? So we get up. We get coffee going. Get kids up. As soon as the kids are out of bed, we put the little kids in our bed for about 5 minutes just to let them wake up a little bit. I take the dogs out, Allison starts her day, dogs come back in, I feed dogs, we get clothes on, and that's our routine. But each and every little bit of that is a choice. It's made out of habit, but it's a choice. Sometimes in life we have what I call more critical choices, right? These are things that are maybe a little more important to us. And we make these choices based off of a couple of different things. Sometimes we make these critical choices based off of joy. I think this will make me happier in my life. Sometimes we make these choices based off of who we are as individuals. This is a foundational issue in my life. This is important for me, okay? So this critical choice will be made this way. And these are the choices we tend to maybe worry over a little bit. Maybe we fret over this decision. Maybe these choices cause us to lose some sleep at night. And if you're like me, I'm not much of a worrier, but these are the choices that at least we could all agree on is that we consider them greatly. Things like, where do I want my kids to go to school? Do I want to homeschool my children? Is that what I feel like the Lord wants me to do? Do I want to put my children in public school? Do I want my children to go to private school? All right? You're in high school. Where am I going to college? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? Am I going to be a nurse? Am I going to be a teacher? All right, these are more critical decisions. How many children do we want to have? Do we want to adopt children? Do we want to do I want to take this job? It may mean that I need to move, okay? And my children are in school, so do I take this job? Do I not take this job? Do I want the responsibility of this job promotion? There are some choices in life that are casual, and some of them are just, quite frankly, more critical. They're more serious, and they tend to have more bearing over our life, all right? But life is full of choices. And sometimes we make choices with different degrees of certainty. All right? Am I going to eat lunch today? Sure. Look at me. Okay? That's not a hard choice to make. All right? So sometimes in life, our choices that we make are very certain. We know this is what we need to do without a shadow of a doubt, we know God wants us to do this without a shadow of a doubt. So sometimes in life, we make choices that are absolutely certain. We don't second guess ourselves. We feel sure from the get-go about what we need to do, where we need to go, what we're doing. And sometimes those choices are more certain. I like those kinds of choices. I don't know if you are like me, but I like, you know, when you don't have to think about something very long, all right, and that choice is made, you feel good about it. I like those kinds of choices, all right? So sometimes we make choices in life that are certain. Sometimes we make choices in life that we're just quite honestly confused about. And that's where I live my life. I don't know if you are like me, but that's where I end up living my life. You know, we kind of pray about it. Lord, what do we do here? Okay? And usually my prayer in those situations is something like, Lord, I'm going to mess this up. So just somehow, some way, lead me to make the right decision. Okay? So sometimes we make choices out of not a state of certainty, but confusion. All right? I don't know if this is the right thing for me, but Let's try this. So sometimes we're a little more confused, all right? I think a lot of times we end up making choices like a person with vertigo, which, by the way, how many of you have ever had it? All right, look, we're going to start a support group, okay? A club, all right? I've told several people, you know, people have come in the office before, and I'd say, well, how you doing? Well, I'm getting over vertigo, and I would have, like, zero compassion, okay? Oh, glad you're better, all right, okay. If you have it, okay, as soon as you feel better, I'm not going to touch you while you feel bad, okay? But as soon as you feel better, I will hug you, okay? All right? But sometimes we make choices like a person with vertigo, okay? I know where I want to go, all right? I've got a destination in mind, but chances are I'm going to fall or run into something before I get there, all right? And that's how we live our life. We make choices that way. Sometimes. So sometimes our choices are casual, sometimes they're critical, sometimes we're certain about it, sometimes we're confused. Even the way we make choices is sometimes difficult to understand. All right? Theologians call this concept freedom of the will. All right? And books have been written on this over and over, but I just want to give you a kind of a cursory glance, at least, of how I see things, right? I think we can all agree this morning, just to keep things simple, that freedom of will or freedom of choice means that I get to do what I want to do. That's how I define it. I can do what I desire to do. That's what it means to have freedom of will or freedom of choice, right? But there are a couple of things to remember when it comes to doing what you want to do. There are things that always influence us because none of us really live on an island, right? I'll give you an example, all right? You ever been to Walmart at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and somebody's there in their flannel pajamas? Okay. In my heart, I'm one of those people, all right? If I could run around, the only reason I'm wearing shoes right now is because I know it's socially appropriate for me to do so, all right? I would wear shorts and T-shirts and be barefoot all day long, all right? If I'm on an island, okay, and I'm not worried about the way other people might view me, I would go to Walmart in my pajamas all day long, okay? Now, if you go to the dollar store down here about 9:45 on a weeknight, chances are you may see me in my pajamas down there, okay? But in my heart, that's who I am, okay? I tend to wear normal clothing at Walmart, okay? Why? There's something bearing influence on me. I don't want people to think that that is the only productive thing I'm doing that day, all right? So I put on clothes. I try to fit in, all right? Try to look like I'm trying to accomplish something that day, all right? So when it comes to our freedom of choice, there are things that bear on us, all right? There are external people and circumstances and situations, all right? Now, I'm wearing a suit today, all right, because external circumstances and situations, all right? I have an ongoing joke with somebody here in the church, all right? I told him, if I ever lost enough weight and could fit in this thing, I will wear it on a Sunday morning, all right? Tried it on this morning, lo and behold, all right, here I am, all right? I'd rather be preaching in my pajamas, all right? But externally, all right, I have an influence to make me decide what I want to wear to church this morning, all right? Sometimes we have internal influences on us as well. Sometimes we decide and make choices based off of really who we are as individuals, okay? You give me a plate of macaroni and cheese and a plate of Brussels sprouts, all right? I'm going for the mac and cheese every time, all right? It's who I am as an individual, all right? And sometimes we make casual decisions that way, and sometimes we make very, very important decisions that way. Sometimes the choices we make in our life are greatly influenced by who we are as individuals, our career choices and things like that. And most specifically, I hope and I pray that the spiritual influence of the Holy Spirit and God's Word and you being fed God's Word bears internally on your decision making. As believers, it should. All right? Now, sometimes we make decisions based off of these external and internal influences. Sometimes we make them off of, there are basically two types of people, right? Sometimes there are people that make emotional decisions, all right? I tend not to be one of those. I'm not an emotional decision-making guy, but there are a lot of times that people make decisions off of emotion, all right? One of the scariest things to me is when you're trying to make a decision or choice in your life, and then somebody goes, just do what your heart tells you to do, okay? That is the scariest thing to me, you know, because Jeremiah says the heart's deceitful and wicked, okay? So I don't always want to trust my emotions. And then there are other of you out there, when you have to make a decision, all right, you make a list, all right? You get your legal pad out, you draw a line down the middle, and you write pro on one side and con on one side, and you write down a whole list of stuff, and your three legal pads in, and whichever side has the most, that's the decision I'm going to make. So sometimes people make decisions that way. So we make emotional decisions. We make cognitive decisions. We make, y'all impressed I knew that word? We make decisions based off of the Spirit of God, all right? Sometimes I believe we can make right decisions, all right? We do what God wants us to do. It turns out to be a right decision in our life, all right? I can look back over my life, and even though I couldn't see it at the time, decisions were made at certain places and points and times in my life where I did not understand them at the time, but when I look back on them, I can say it was no doubt the absolute right decision for me. I'll give you a for instance. All right. When Bradley and I were working together in Louisiana, we had worked together about 4.5 years, and Bradley had moved to Mississippi. And not long after he got to Mississippi, Bradley called me and said, I think I may have an opening here. Would you be interested in coming and doing associate pastor and youth ministry work? All right. I told him no. I said no. And I'd actually been talking to a church in Alabama about coming to be their pastor. All right. So I said, I think God wants me to do this. So let me tell you no. I hate to, but let me tell you no. So during that process, okay, I go through the whole search committee process with them. We meet with them. We look at the church. We go over that. And then they give you the phone call. We want you to do the trial sermon, okay? Went and did the trial sermon, okay? He calls me on Monday, all right? We want you to come. And I did not understand it at the time, but when Allison and I were on the way home, I could feel God saying, do not go. Do not go. I could not explain it. It felt like I was, the weirdest thing I could describe it to is it felt like I was breaking up with a girlfriend. You know, you'd been kind of courting and gotten to know each other, and then all of a sudden, it's not you, it's me. You know, it's one of those kind of things. But looking back on it, I can see God's hand directing my family through even leading us up to Mississippi. I didn't understand it at the time, but that was a right decision for us, okay? Sometimes we make wrong decisions, all right? Let's just face it, all right? Allison, if I brought her up here, she could testify that I have made tons, and if you're honest with yourself, you could testify that you've made a ton of wrong decisions, all right? Sometimes we do it just because we decided something incorrectly, okay? Sometimes we make wrong decisions just flat out because we're rebellious, okay? We know God wants us to do something a certain way, but we do not want to do it. So we're rebellious. We make wrong decisions. Then there are other decisions. I think they're somewhat just kind of morally neutral, okay? Like where we're eating lunch today, okay? It's kind of a neutral decision. There's no right or wrong, right? Unless you're going somewhere just for salad, all right? That would be a wrong decision, all right? So there are right or wrong decisions. The problem with choices is that we make so many, all right? And it's easy to become confused. The problem with choices is that our lives are so busy that we always end up spending more time worried about what we're doing. Is that the right thing or the wrong thing for me? Is this what God wants me to do, or is this not what God wants me to do? How's my life going to be affected if I do this? Or how's my life going to be affected if I do that? All right. The problem with choices is that there's so many, and they come so frequently, and to be honest, none of us want to mess our lives up. And if we all love Jesus in here, if we're all honest, we want to do what God wants us to do. The problem is with choices is it becomes so easy to become confused. Right? But what if life isn't about so many choices per se? What if life is more about one choice? In my mom's house growing up, I don't know where she got this from. It looked 80 years old whenever I was a kid. She still has this in her home. It's a little framed picture, and it's probably, I don't know, 14 or 15 inches long, maybe 5 or 6 inches high. And it's a tan, had to come from the 70s. It's like a tan background, and in brown crochet is part of the verse of Joshua 24:15. So that's what I want us to look at this morning, Joshua 24:15. What if life really isn't about so many choices as much as it is one choice? So instead of worrying about doing so many things correctly and choosing so many things wisely and so many things rightly, what if life is more about just getting one thing right? I think that's what Joshua is telling us. Joshua has led the nation of Israel. They've gone through the period of conquest. They've almost got it all done. They never quite finish it, but Joshua's getting old. He's getting ready to retire, so he gives his farewell speech. And in his farewell speech, if we could pick up in verse 14, we see the words of Joshua come to bear influence on us and how we make decisions. He says, now therefore, all right? Now Bradley always says, when you see the therefore, you got to see what it's there for, all right? I have no clue what that means, all right? When I see the word therefore, my mind turns to personal application. All right, so when you see the word therefore in the Bible, I know that God's telling me, or Joshua in this case is trying to tell me, okay, I've said something, this is what I want you to do, or this is what you need to consider. So now therefore, okay, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, and this is what we had in our home, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that they served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I saw that thing over and over and over in my home. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If I remember right, there was a picture of a wagon on top of that crocheted thing. And as a kid, I never knew what the wagon had to do with the Bible verse. Still don't, all right? But I remember the verse. And what Joshua, I think, is telling his people as he's getting ready to retire and getting ready to be with the Lord, and I think what God is telling us this morning is life isn't so much about making every choice correctly and worrying about this choice and that choice and how this is affecting my life. Life is really more about getting one choice right. Each and every day, notice what Joshua said, all right, choose this day. That means each and every day. This should be a priority for me. This is the choice I want to get right each and every day. Choose this day whom you will serve. All right? Now the word serve there could also be translated worship. Okay? It has a kind of the idea or carries the context of submission. Okay? You choose this day who you're going to submit your life to. You choose this day who you're going to worship. You choose this day who you're going to give your life to. We got a couple of options. Joshua says, whether you want to serve the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Look, you guys could worship these gods over here. You guys could worship the gods your granddad worshiped, but all those things are way less than worshiping the one true God. And it's almost like sometimes in our life, we spend so much time thinking about the choices that we are making that we leave little time for the most important choice. And I don't think we do it intentionally, but it's almost like sometimes the choices we're making in our life, the decisions we're making in our life, almost become gods to us. Where we spend more time focused on what we're doing and worry way less about what loving God, worshiping God, bringing God glory. And Joshua, in his heart here, is wanting us to say, look, choose this day. All right, make this one choice. Get this one choice correctly. All right? And then he says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. Two more things real quickly. Your daily decision to submit yourself to God and love him and worship him is an individual choice. No one can make but you. You see what Joshua says? But as for me, okay, I can't make you make this decision, all right? It's an individual choice. It's a daily choice, but it has ramifications. What's the next thing he says? But as for me and my house, the choices that we make and how we choose to submit and worship God have ripple effects all over our homes and families, each and every day. Now, primarily, I think this is a father responsibility. But wives, the choices you make have ripple effects in your family. Children, youth, the choices you make have ripple effects in your family. So as we think about our time together this morning, I want to simplify life for you. I am from Blakely. I like things simple. All right? Let's not spend so much time worried about choices and spend more time worried about one crucial choice. Will I today worship God? Will I today serve God? Will I today submit myself to the Lord? That's the choice we need to get right. And to be honest, if we get that one right, I think a lot of other things fall in place. All right? Jesus said that. All right? All right? Seek ye first what? okay, the kingdom of God, and then everything else, okay, will fall into place. Sometimes we get those things mixed up. We worried about getting everything in place more than we worried about seeking the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. I thank you for today. God, I pray that you would help us get this one truth in our hearts and in our minds. Help us to live it. Help us to order our lives so that we are focused about this one aspect of our life. Who are we going to choose to worship today? Who are we going to choose to serve today? God, you are worthy of all of our worship. You are worthy of all of our praise. I pray that you forgive us when we spend more time focused on our decisions and choices and where we want our lives to go instead of focused on worshiping you. So God, I pray that you would make us a people that desires above all things the desire to bring you honor and glory. God, there may be people here this morning that have never thought about honoring you daily. God, I pray that you would help them see that that belongs and begins in Christ Jesus. That salvation changes us. It gives us new priorities. So God, I pray for those here this morning that may not know you. I pray that you would speak to them and encourage them to come to you and have a relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand at this time and we sing a hymn of invitation. All right. During the hymn of invitation, I encourage you to just, for lack of a better term, do business with God. Would you seek his face? Would you pray and ask God to put his truth in your heart? Mm-hmm.